Well, what I'd like to do this morning is introduce what you're about to see. Rebecca and Sophie and Matt are going to be baptized today. And you need to understand a few things about baptism. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward reality that has already taken place in the hearts of these three. Baptism does not accomplish anything in terms of making somebody a Christian or bringing about forgiveness of sin or making them right before God. This is a symbol, a public profession of what God has already done. There's another fundamental reality you need to understand about baptism. The three being baptized today are not being baptized because they're good people. They're not being baptized because they cleaned up their lives somehow or turned things around or pulled themselves up by their own moral bootstraps. And now these three, like everyone in this room, like all of humanity collectively and each individual human, before God, were born enemies of Him. Sinful by nature and sinful by activity. God's assessment of humanity is found in passages all over the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, but passages like Genesis 6:5. When God looks down on humanity, what does He see? A bunch of people who love Him and want to do their best to be pleasing to Him? No. Every intention of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Now, that's not the assessment we tend to give of each other, is it? But that's God's indictment of the human condition. Every intention of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And that statement in Genesis 6:5 is echoed throughout the scriptures. You can't come to any page in your Bible that will undo God's assessment of humanity. Now, we should not trust ourselves and our own assessment of our own relative goodness, nor of the accolades of others in our favor. When the one whose opinion that matters most is the one who understands us best and who paints the worst picture. And not only is our sinful activity born out of our sin nature, our sin problem is irreparable. You and I can't fix our problem. You and I can't build a bridge to God. You and I can't clean up our mess. Our sinful state has left us helpless, hopeless, and spiritually dead. And our sin has alienated us from God and angered God simultaneously, such that because of our sin, we are His enemies. Now, this is a staggering problem. It is the predicament of every human being who has ever lived, saved the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the predicament you and I were born into, is the predicament that these three who will be baptized today were born into and lived out. This is an unsolvable problem by us, and yet it is the problem, the predicament, that God in His love is eager to remedy. The fundamental reality is that God loves sinners, and God saves sinners. God's love is not predicated on our being good enough to be loved. No, God's love is unbelievably glorious enough to love the unlovable. To see us in our misery, our hopelessness, our helplessness, our spiritual death, alienation, and enmity with God, and solve it. And there's a dilemma built into this solution. How does God forgive sinners and maintain His own reputation? This is the problem of the Bible. How does God forgive sinners and maintain His own reputation? And my friends, there is only one way. There is only one way. The Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is God, who took on flesh, became man, he, the God-man, goes to the cross and takes upon himself all the sin, past, present, future, of everyone who would ever believe in him, and extinguishes God's anger against that sin. Not because the sinners cleaned themselves up, but because God loved us and gave his Son on our behalf. In the words of 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for sins once for all, the just in the place of the unjust, to bring us to God. How is a sinner made right before a holy God? Jesus Christ, the righteous, the just, the perfect one, without lowering his standard, meets the standard of perfect justice by dying in the place of sinners who deserved that justice. It is right to say that Jesus takes upon himself our sin and his Father's wrath against our sin in order to credit us with his righteousness. So that the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 can say, I'm here not because of a righteousness of my own, built up by keeping the law, but a foreign righteousness. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 explains the symbolism that baptism is. Based upon the substitutionary sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, God forgives sinners who believe in him. Not those who work, but by faith alone, cast themselves on the Lord Jesus Christ totally for salvation. That's whom God forgives. And baptism pictures a discontinuity between what was and what now is. In other words, there's been a radical change. You'll hear about it in these three who get baptized. And it's true of every single person who is a believer in Jesus Christ. You were born and lived as an alien from God, at enmity with him, living out your sinful nature. And then God changes you, saves you by his grace, and you become a new creature. Something different. That which is old has died and been buried, and something new has arrived. Baptism portrays this thing. Paul says in Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, you can look down at your Bibles and follow along with me. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Matt and Sophie and Rebecca were slaves of sin. And by God's grace, we're united to Jesus Christ by faith, buried with him, and raised to new life. The three who will stand before you this morning are walking in newness of life, a resurrection life that only God could produce. Because by faith, they have been united to Jesus Christ and his death, and his burial, and his resurrection. And water baptism portrays this immersion into Christ and this rising again to new life. It's a great picture. To go under the water, it gives the symbolism of being buried with Christ, and coming out of the water, the symbolism of rising to new life with him. And baptism is this public profession of what has already taken place in their lives. You'll hear about it. And it's also an opportunity for these three to publicly affiliate with Jesus and his people, the church. What a thrilling day this is for us to hear about God's grace in Rebecca's life and Sophie's life and Matt's life. Rebecca, it's time for me to stop talking and for you to come boast in your Savior. Would you tell us what Jesus has done for you?